Hey, Thrive Tribe, I want to thank you so much for joining in. Man, we just hope that today's message blesses you and that you just receive so much from the Lord. If this does minister to you, if you don't mind, take time to rate and review our podcast. It just helps us increase in the rankings and just get the word and the hope of Jesus Christ out to more people. So if you take time to do that, man, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for taking time to join us today as well. Also, if you'd like to give to the church, you can do so by going to thrivechurchonline.com. Just click the giving tab. So without any further wait, let's jump into today's message. Good morning, Thrive Tribe. Man, I just hope you're having an amazing Sunday morning. Can I just say that I have enjoyed so much the opportunity over the last couple weeks just to sit and get to know our online campus a little better. I've had the opportunity to chat with so many people, to pray online with so many people, to minister to people. I thank God for our online campus. While I'm excited to be back in Live House today, I'm also excited every week that I get an opportunity to talk to you. I get an opportunity to talk to our Thrive Tribe, our online campus. And man, it just matters so much to me. So I just want you to know that I thank God for you. I also want to challenge you that if you watch this on YouTube or Facebook, and you're really looking for not just to watch the service, but you want the interaction and the community of an online church, not just watching online, but an online interactive church, I'm going to challenge you to go to our church website, thrivechurchonline.com. In the upper right-hand corner and in the middle of the page, there'll be two different places. Doesn't matter which one you check. They say online. If you click online campus there, it'll take you to our live chat that people are watching right now on all these different platforms, or live video. But in this case, there's somebody there that we call them hosts. There are folks there who can chat with you, who can pray privately with you. There are all kinds of interactive buttons that we throw up. And man, we just want to give you an opportunity to experience our online campus. If it's easier for you to watch this on YouTube or Facebook, man, we encourage you to do that. But if you really want that online, live one-on-one with the host experience, we're going to encourage you to go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just click the online tab, and there will be a host there waiting on you. Just create either a throwaway login or a permanent login. And, man, we just love to get to know you. You're the reason that we created an online campus. So last week I taught on blank your enemy. And a lot of times when we say blank our enemy, it's probably not the most Jesus-like thing that will ever come out of our mouth. When somebody cuts us off at the interstate, or somebody does us dirty at work, or somebody just messes us over, man, a lot of times we say blank our enemy. It's not a Jesus kind of blank. And last week we took time and we really looked at the words of Jesus, what Jesus said about your enemy. And man, the blank that Jesus wants to fill in front of our enemy is love your enemy and to pray for your enemy and to forgive your enemy. And we really just navigated that. And to be honest with you, I was a little surprised at how many people reached out on our online campus and just said, man, I'm struggling with how to forgive people. So at the end of that service, I immediately began to write next week, which is this week's message, and it was three steps to forgiving your enemy. And I was just really geared up and thought that was the way that the Lord wanted me to go. And then as I went on into my week this week, I got so many phone calls from people who were upset about the state of our world again, because there's been a lot of change this week and that kind of thing. That I feel like I need to pause the Blank Your Enemy series and take a week just to speak to this. I just do want to let you know where we're going with that series. I will either do one of two things. Either I will post an online devotional set on the three steps to really forgiving your enemy, or I will teach it as part of a restarted series next week. So either way, I will be sure to answer that for you and hopefully answer it well. Pray for me. I had it written out. But again, I just began to get so many phone calls, and that's kind of where I want to go to this week, about people who seem like their future is tied into politics or tied into viruses or tied in somehow to all these things that don't matter. And I began to listen to the confession. People called me this week and told me how the economy was going to crash and how the churches were going to be driven out of business and how, let me just say this, you can't drive a church out of business. First of all, the church is not a business, it's a ministry. The second thing is this, is Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So I'm not worried about the church. The church has been fine. If the church can survive the Roman Empire's persecution, and I can take you through Hitler and all these people, I think that we'll be fine. And I'll be honest with you, I think that as Americans, we know that we're one nation under God. And I think that if the Christians are pushed on too much, they'll just rise up and say, hey, look, no, we're not going to do this. But with all that being said, I think that there are so many people who maybe are seeing the world through a slant. They're seeing it through the wrong vision. And what I've noticed, two or three weeks ago, I did a message series, and in that I talked about how many hours people spend on social media. The lowest side of that number, the lowest side of that average American study is somewhere in excess of 2 hours. It's 2 hours a day that people spend looking at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, go on and on and on, but some form of social media. And here's what I found. We are in a 24-hour information cycle. And so somebody is always telling you something to be afraid of, something to worry about, something that's coming, something that's going to, and it's all kinds of news outlets. It's mainline, it's private people, it's friends, it's all this stuff. Everybody wants to inundate you with information. And here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you for one moment just to take a step back, and I want you to begin to see the world through Jesus' lens. What if instead of this foreboding, that kind of heavy spirit that a lot of us are feeling, instead of being worried about the presidency or government or health or whatever, what if we just stopped for a minute and we looked at what Jesus says that our outlook on life should be? Because today, I don't just want to change the way you see something temporarily. I want you to meditate on what I'm about to teach. I want you to meditate on it for a week or two. I want you to really get it down in your spirit. I want you just to really grab a hold of it and make this part of who you are. And we're going to begin this week in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, English Standard Version. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31. I like the way it starts. It reads this way. What then shall we say to these things? And I'm going to stop right there because that's the first sentence in this verse of Scripture. And the author writes and says, so what should we say to these things? And I'm just going to say this. For right now, in this moment, I believe that's the question God wants to ask you. What are you going to say to all these things going on around us? Because, my friend, what you say matters. It matters to the people around you. It matters to your family. But most of all, it matters to you. But most of all, it matters to God what you're going to say about the world going on around you. So the author writes and he says this. So what should we say about these things going on around us? I love this. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now stop right there, because if you actually look at this, there are two questions in the second sentence. If is a question, if God is for us. And my friend, that's the big question that you have to answer right now. Do you really believe that? Forget about the nation, forget about the county, forget about the state, forget about the city. Just really dive down all the way down to your four walls. Then inside your four walls, all the way down to your individual life. Do you really believe that God is for you? Because if you can answer that question, if you can sit and say, Pastor, I really believe that God is for me, then all of a sudden you're going to shift the paradigm, the model of your life. So if God is for you, who can be against you? Because here's what I believe. I don't believe that all of a sudden in 2020 or 2021 or on Inauguration Day or on Voting Day or on the first case of COVID or what, I don't think all of a sudden God got up and started wringing his hands and all of a sudden got worried because he didn't see this coming. I believe that God knew everything and knows everything that's going to come down. And here's the thing, but if that God who knows everything, all knowing, all caring, all right, who loves us, if God is all those things and he is for you, who can be against us? Now I want you to think just for a minute, how much peace that just that one that one verse of Scripture can be. So what should I say about all these things? If God is for me, and I'm going to add this part in, if God is for me, and He is, then who or what can be against me? My friend, do you really believe this morning that God is for you? Let's take a look at this. Because if you believe that God is for you, then automatically it's going to have to change the way that you think. People go, well, I can't really control what I think, I don't really think my thinking. Now, I'm not talking about positive thinking, but they'll say, well, I don't think what I think about matters that much. And I'm going to argue this. There's a renowned, Dr. Carol Leaf says this. She's a world-renowned neuroscientist. And she said this as a result of 30 years of clinical research that proved that our thoughts can either limit us to what we believe we can do or release us to experience abilities beyond our expectations, she says. Quote, when we choose a mindset that extends our abilities rather than placing limits on ourselves, we will experience greater intellectual, emotional control, and physical health. Here's what I believe. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking, but if just thinking in a positive manner automatically improves you intellectually, emotionally, and physically, how much more is the multiplier when those when those mental thoughts are moved in cooperation with the way God wants you to think? Now remember, the question is this: if God is for us, if we sit here and we say this, man, if God is for us, then I should think differently. And I understand that without God, thinking positively automatically moves me into a much higher success rate in life. How much more can God multiply that thought process when not only are you thinking in a positive way, but you're thinking in a godly positive way? Because thinking positively enough isn't going to change your world all that much. It may make you a little happier, may whatever. But man, when you get that the God of the universe loves you and is for you, man, what in the world are we worried about? As a matter of fact, I think that we have to come to a point where we answer two questions. One, do you believe that God is for you? And two, if God is for you, what do you have to worry about? Because I really think that a lot of people don't believe that God's promises are for them. Like, they believe that God is good, but they don't necessarily believe that God is good towards them. They believe that God loves humanity, but man, to love me, I don't know. Does this make sense to you? Like, people don't have a hard time accepting and understanding a conceptual version of God, but man, to think that God loves me and He wants certain things for me. And because He loves me and because God is for me and has certain things for me, He may want me to think a certain way and expect a certain way and believe a certain way and talk a certain way. Matter of fact, I want to take you to Luke chapter 4, verse 19. This is actually a scripture text that I used not too many weeks ago. And it's Jesus, it's the first time He teaches. It's a quote out of, in the temple, it's a quote out of Isaiah 61. And he goes in and he says, man, the Lord's going to do all these things, and I've come to bind up the brokenhearted and release captives and all that. And he finishes with this. He said, Luke chapter 4, verse 19. Verse 19 says this, and I'm here to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus said, man, when I showed up, it automatically is going to be a good year. And I'm here to tell you that in 2021, Jesus has showed up this morning in your life, in your living room, in your kitchen, in wherever you're watching, your car, and wherever you're watching, man, Jesus is here. So automatically, this is the year of the Lord's favor, or the year of Jubilee. And in Jubilee, sins are forgiven and debts are wiped out. And inside the Jewish custom, all these things happen. And Jesus said, man, I've come to wipe your debt out. I've come to give you hope. I've come to proclaim that 2021 is the year of my favor in your life. Now here's the thing. If Jesus has favor for you, man, we've got to start talking, acting, and thinking like we are favored by God. Matter of fact, one of my personal favorite scriptures is Jeremiah 29:11. Because if you ever wondered, if God is for us, then what's God's plan for being for me? Because if you tell me you're for me, I want to know what you're going to do for me, right? Like if you come in and you say, hey, I'm your lawyer and I'm going to be fighting on your behalf, I'm going to say, well, how do you plan on fighting for me? Jeremiah 29:11 gives us God's plan and heart towards us to bless us. God said this in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I, God, know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Another version of the Bible says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to bless you and prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. And I want you to pay attention to this. If God said, I've got plans for you, plans to bless you, that means that every morning when you get up, you better be in you should be in expectation that God is going to bless you, that you should be in expectation that God is going to prosper you, that evil is not going to come to you, that you're going to have a hope and a blessed future. Now I want you to think about how that should affect the way you talk. Man, everybody else is all melancholy and talking down about, man, but let me tell you what God's plan for my life is. I don't care who's in the White House. I don't care who's running this. I don't care about that. Here's what I care about. God told me this morning that I'm going to get up and that He's going to bless me and prosper me and give me a hope and a future so that I can be a blessing to somebody else, so that I can help somebody else come to know Him. So that, right, man, I don't have anything to worry about, because if God is for me, I don't have anything to worry about. And God is not only for me, but here's God's plan. He's a plan to bless me and to prosper me and to give me a hope and a future. I love Isaiah 30 verse 18. Isaiah 30 verse 18. I'm going to read the first from the English Standard Version. And it reads this way. It said, therefore, the Lord waits to be generous to you. And therefore, He exalts Himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for Him. Now here, I'm going to read that again. I'm so excited about this. Listen to this. It said, therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Man, what is He waiting on? Man, He's waiting on you to understand that He wants to be gracious, so that you begin to look for it, so that... Therefore, verse 2, second line, it says, and therefore He exalts Himself to show you mercy. Man, when the Lord blesses you and shows you mercy, it's so that He can get praise and honor and glory, right? So, man, when we live in an expectation to go, God, I know Your heart towards me. You've got plans to bless me and to prosper me, that you're waiting to be gracious to me. And you know what? For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for Him. Man, and you know what? If I'm praying for something and I'm waiting, and it takes longer than a day, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait longer. One of my favorite lines from a movie, I believe it was from an Ace Ventura movie, is he said this, if I'm not back in 5 minutes, wait longer. Here's what I believe. I believe that there are people under the sound of my voice that are praying that God heals a part of their body. And man, I'm just going to tell you that I believe, according to the Word of God, that healing is for everybody. Now here's the thing, God may not heal you right now, but if He doesn't heal you right now, wait just a few minutes. You're closer than you ever were to God touching you and breaking you through. Does this make sense? To Him bringing you healing? Man, if you're in financial need, maybe you've been in a long time, man, just keep waiting. Keep trusting the Lord, because your breakthrough's coming. Because God has a heart to prosper you and to bless you and to give you a hope. Man, I know the heart for me, so my mouth should echo what God's promises are of me. Does this make any sense to you? What God's promises over me are. But I love the way the Message Bible read this and interpreted the same sect of text from Isaiah 30, chapter 18. But God's not finished. Man, somebody needs to type in the chat box right now, God's not finished. You know what? God is not finished blessing you. God is not finished loving you. God is not finished having mercy on you. God is not finished forgiving you. Man, God is not finished. He's waiting around to be gracious to you. He's gathering strength to show you mercy. God takes the time to do everything right. Everything. I love that line. God takes time to do everything right. Everything. If you're waiting on the Lord to fulfill something that He's promised you, sometimes it just takes a little longer for a cake to bake. Does this make sense? But God does everything right and in the right time, everything. If you need a financial breakthrough, understand this, that God does everything right and in the right time, everything. But is your heart so turned towards God that every day and in every situation you look and expect the Lord to do something? Because, man, according to these scriptures, I love the end of this. Those that wait around for him are the lucky ones. The people that wait around in anticipation and don't give up, those are the ones that most people are going to call lucky, but we know the real interpretation of that is blessed because it's God who gave it to him. What if you got up and instead of worrying about what was going to go wrong, what if you got up every morning and you just lived in anticipation of what the Lord was going to do next, how the Lord was going to provide, what the Lord was going to bless, how the Lord was going to show up and show off? What if you lived like that? How much does that kind of faith activate what God already wants to do for you? Now, we know that we can't make God do anything, but God said this: if you really want to inherit the kingdom of God, you've got to have faith like a child. Have you ever promised to give a child something, I don't know, a toy or whatever, and you figured out about 30 seconds into it that was the biggest mistake you've ever made in your entire life, because they will worry the socks off you. All they'll want to talk about is, do you have it, can you bring it, and all that. And then finally you give it to them, and you're not sure if you're more excited or they're more excited. Well, that's the way God is. God said, man, I want you to live expecting every promise and every word that came out. I want you like a child, just with open. And if I say, hey, honey, it's going to be a little while longer. Okay, well, I may not have the same concept of time as God does, just like a child doesn't have the same concept as an adult. They don't understand 15 minutes. They don't understand that when you said that you bring it to them, you didn't mean right now. That sometimes things have to wait to the right timing, man. Sometimes God has to work things out in our life. Sometimes God has to work things out in the lives of other people. But here's the thing. Those who wait around for the Lord, they're the blessed ones. They're the lucky ones. They're the ones that don't grow tired in seeking and searching after what the Lord has and waiting in expectation for what God will do next. Man, do you hear how countercultural this is to the way most people are living their lives? Do you see how countercultural this is to the way most people are walking around with doom and gloom? How can you walk around with doom and gloom when you have a living God that may do something ridiculous for you at any moment? See, great men and women of God have believed radically that God is for them. In the 23rd Psalm, most of us know it. Unfortunately, most of us, the primary time that we hear this is at a funeral. But if you understand the way that David wrote this, he actually wrote it. Let me read it to you first. Psalms 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I live and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David didn't write this when he was the king. David wrote this particular scripture while he was on the run. More than likely he was living in caves, and he was ducking and dodging all these enemies. Everybody at one time, I think, wanted to kill David. David said this: even in my trial, I understand that surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. David said, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever if I die. But you need to understand this, that that goodness and mercy are seeking me out. Surely I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord, but goodness and mercy are going to follow me around all the days of my life. You can't get rid of your shadow. And as a believer, you can't get rid of the goodness and the mercies of God. They're tracking you down. They're looking for you. But when you begin to look for them, all of a sudden you can see them. You can begin to see the hand of God. And what you begin to look for, you begin to find more of. Do you remember when you were little and you went on an Easter egg hunt? Maybe it was the first couple you went on, and at first you're like, oh, I'm not going to find any. And then you found one Easter egg, and then the next thing you know, you started, man, just racking them in. God said this. He said, when you begin to look for, when you begin to expect me to do something, man, you'll be able to see the hand of God no matter what season of life is going on. And you'll begin to live in this world, but not of this world. You'll begin to live in this plane of natural, but looking always for the supernatural. Always looking for the hand of God. David didn't say this while he was a king, but rather while he was on the run from his enemies. Today you may feel like you're running from sickness, or you're running from politics, or you're running. I'm going to challenge you this. I think that everybody should disengage from social media. Honestly, I've done this for several weeks now. Other than to go in and like the stuff that the church posts, I'm just staying off social media. I don't care what everybody wants to post. It's not that I don't love your kids or what you ate for dinner or your workout. I'm just tired of seeing all the political and all the hate and all the division. I turned the TV off. The only TV I think I've watched is maybe Andy Griffith. And does anybody remember the old nanny show? Yeah, she talked like that. Anyway, those are the shows that I've watched because you know what? My mind was not created to take on all this evil. I was created in the image and the likeness of God. So I decided that I was just going to begin to look for the blessings of the Lord all around me. And you know what I found was when I quit listening to what everybody told me was wrong, my house is doing good, and my kids are doing good, and my friends are well. And man, the Lord's blessed, and the Lord's kept, and the Lord's prospered, and the Lord's moved. And man, let me tell you something. If the Lord was going to let you down, 2020 was a great time for Him to do it. But here's what I felt like. I felt like, do you remember when the children of Israel got ready to leave Egypt? The death angel passed over. So the last of the plagues, the death angel passed over. And in order for the death angel not to affect your house, you had to paint your doorpost with the blood. I was telling a friend of mine this morning, I said, you know what, if I had have been a children of Israel, if I'd have been an Israelite, and you told me that the only way that I could protect my family was to paint this doorpost with blood, man, I would have killed way more than what was needed. Because I'm the type of person, I would have started out and I would have painted my doorpost just like I was told. But then I would have gotten worried that I missed a spot. So I'd have gone back and put a second coat, and I'd have probably gone inside the trim work a little bit where the door met. Well, then I would have probably thought, well, it didn't say which side of the door. So I'd have gone inside and I'd have painted. And then just to make sure that I didn't miss anything, I'd have probably painted over, another foot or two in every direction just to make sure that I didn't miss anything. And here's what I came to. If I would do that knowing that evil was, that death was about to pass over, man, if I feel like the world that we live in is evil, shouldn't I maybe just take some time to make sure that I'm painted not with the blood of a lamb, but the blood of the lamb? Shouldn't I make sure that my life is covered by the things of God and the promises of God and the forgiveness of God and the mercy of God? How do you do that, man? And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do this with us corporately. But the first thing you do is invite Jesus into your heart. But the second thing, if you're already a believer, is this, is that, man, I spend time in the presence of God and looking for the things of God and talking about the promises of God. Revelation tells us that they being the church, overcame the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We have to begin to talk about and look for the things of God. Here's what I believe. I believe that your best days are still ahead of you. I don't believe that you've seen your best days yet. Matter of fact, there was a story in the Old Testament about a prophet named Elijah, and he would come through town, and he would stay with this rich lady and her husband, so much so that the rich lady said, "Hey, look, let's build the man of God a place." And then the Lord touched the man of God's heart, and he said, "What can I do for you?" Basically, she said, "The thing I'd like to have as a child." And he said, "Well, you'll have a child in a year." And she said, no, I can't have a child because my husband's old and we haven't been able to have kids. And I don't know, we've done in vitro and we've tried everything and there's just no hope. Maybe this morning you're saying, "I've tried everything and there's no hope." He looked at her and said, "One year from now, you'll have a kid." Here's what I believe. I believe that if you'll begin to look for the things of God, it's hard to tell what God will birth in your life 1 year from now. If you'll begin to every day look for what God's trying to birth. Because here's the thing. When you get pregnant, when a woman gets pregnant, she begins to feel the effects on her body before anybody else can see it. That I believe this. I believe that God's trying to grow something. He's trying to grow your faith and your expectation for what He can really do in your life in this season. And that it will happen before you even see the results. But if you'll stick with it for a year, if you'll stick with it for a lifetime, you will see God birth things in your life that you don't even think is possible. Matter of fact, Jesus said this, Matthew 7, 7 through 8. "Ask and it'll be given to you. Jesus teaches, and he says, look, you need to be in constant prayer with God. You need to make mention of your needs. You need to let God know, you know, what's going on. Not because God doesn't know that you need it, but God wants you to trust him as a father, as a good father, so much that you would believe him enough to ask for it. Seek and you'll find it. Man, what are you seeking out every day? Are you seeking out the news? You seeking out the news channel or what's happening on Facebook or what's... Are you seeking out the promises of God? Are you looking for them? Are you in anticipation that God wants to bless you and prosper you? That God wants to be gracious to you? That God wants to, is that what you're seeking out? He said, knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and those who seek find. The one who knocks on the door, it'll be open. Now, what you pursue, what you look for, God said you're going to find. As for me, I'm done looking at division. I'm done looking at sickness. I'm done. I just want the things of God. I want the promises of God. I want the favor of God. And I believe that that's his will for my life. I really believe that God is for me. I believe that he's for you too. But here's also what I know, that your confession either binds or loose what God can do. Have you ever got ready to buy dinner for somebody? I'm notorious for this. I love to buy dinner for people, but I feel awkward when people try to buy my dinner. I know that sounds really weird. But have you ever watched two people argue over a check? No, let me get the check. No, give that back to me. And they're yanking it out of each other's hands and whatever. God sometimes is trying to bless us, and we're too busy with our words and with our expectation jerking the check that he's trying to pay for out of his hand. Listen to this. Matthew 18:18. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. I'm just going to tell you that if you will spend every day, get up and begin to think, man, what is God? How is the favor of God going to track me down today? How are the blessings of the Lord going to track me down today? I wonder what amazing things God's going to do that I'm just going to be able to give him credit for. Man, I wonder how that's going to happen. Now, this week in my house, all three of our cars have required service. We've had to go back. Man, just weird stuff going on. We got them all fixed, and then some weird things happened. We had to take one back. So in the meantime, we borrowed a car from a friend. And my son got up at 4:30 in the morning. He works in the medical field to go to shift. He got up, and he turned the ignition, and nothing happened. He called me and said, Dad, can you come look at this and see, you know, I got to get to work. And I got up, and the funny thing is it was blocking the other two cars in, so it wouldn't move and whatever. And so we got up, and I opened the hood up. But as I walked from my bedroom to my kitchen, which is not a super long walk, out to my garage, then ultimately out to the car, just probably a 15-second walk. I got up and I got ready to go, Lord, what in the world is going to happen next? Here's what I said. I got up and said, Lord, the goodness and mercy. This was just all in my heart and in my head. Lord, the goodness and the mercy of the Lord are going to follow me all the days of my life. So, Father, I just believe that when I come out here, either you're going to supernaturally just give me the ability to get this car started, or you're going to make a way. I don't even know how you're going to do it, but you're God, and your heart is to bless me. Your heart is to prosper me, because you're my God, and I'm your servant. God, you just tell me how you want to do it. And I walked out there, and all I did was jiggle the battery connector, and my son looked at me and said, Dad, I've already done that. I said, well, just try it. He hit the key, started right up. Here's what I believe. I believe that God touched that car. Why? Because, man, I was looking for him to do something. I believe that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy that morning. Man, to bring worry and to bring fear. But God said this, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but that of a sound mind. A sound enough mind to look for the blessings of the Lord even when things are going wrong. And watch God every time prove himself over and over. People go, well, that never works for me. It's because you're not looking for it. Man, when you really believe with your heart, man, that God is for you, and not against you. That's why I was so glad this morning we did the worship set that we did. Sometimes we've got to be reminded that God is for us. Now here's what will happen. When you really get into this and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm gonna live in expectation for what God is doing. I'm gonna just receive every promise that God made over my life, and I'm gonna check out of this crazy world that we live in, and I'm gonna check into the presence of the God and just let him bless my goings and my coming. I'm gonna be like David and go, man, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. It doesn't matter what happens to them. If God is for me, who or what can be against me? And God is in fact for me. People are gonna tell you you've lost your mind. But let me give you a list of people who also lost their mind. There was a woman with the issue of blood who, in a crowd of people bumping all into Jesus, said that if I can just get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, I know my medical condition, my issue of blood, will be healed. And she came in, and when she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples were like, "Ha, ha, everybody." And he said, "No, I felt virtue go out of me." What he's saying is, I felt somebody who touched me with anticipation. Abraham and Isaac, God, Isaac was a gift from God to Abraham. And then God said, "Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac." And he took him up to the hill. And scripture, Hebrews, says that Abraham was gonna sacrifice Isaac, but figured that if God asked him to sacrifice him, he would just raise him from the dead. But instead, God had a ram with its horns tangled up in the bush. God always provided. You know why? Because Abraham, the whole way up the mountain, said, "Don't worry about it, God will provide." Where's the sacrifice? "Don't worry about it, God will provide." Where's the sacrifice? "Don't worry about it, God will provide." Why? Because Abraham was looking for the favor of God and believed it was on his life. The blind man at the temple begging alms, and "Man, silver and gold I don't have, but such I have I give unto you." Man, reach out in faith and stand up. Feeding the 5,000 with a couple of fishes and a couple of that. Can you imagine if those people didn't believe that God could do the supernatural by multiplication of fish and bread? What about the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda? So, "Man, every time I try to get down there, somebody always beats me to it. Man, I always feel like I'm second place in everything in my life." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Man, you got to believe." I'm looking at you this morning and say, "Man, it sounds crazy, but you're going to have to believe that God can do supernatural, abundant things in your life, and that he wants to. And more importantly, he wants to do them over and over and over again." That doesn't mean that we don't work, man. We do all that we can do, but we have to trust God to do what we can't do, believing that the blessing and the favor of the Lord are tracking us down. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. "Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be all glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I love this. "Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than we can ask, think, or believe." Let me ask you a question. What if you walked around asking, thinking, and believing that the favor and the grace of God was upon you, just for no other fact of you're adopted? That those of us that gave our life to Jesus, he adopted us into our family. We weren't always right with God. We weren't always Christian people. But now, once we accepted Jesus, we became a child of God. And because of that, that God wants to bless us more than we ask, think, or believe. So my friend, what if you just decided to believe God for the miraculous in your life every day? What if you just looked for the hand of God, for God just to do stuff because he loved you and give you favor with men and give you favor in business deals and give you favor in relationships and give you, what happens if God did all those? What if you got up every day looking for that? My friend, here's what I think. I think that God will do exceedingly abundantly above that which you ask, think, or believe. And why? So that he can receive glory for what he does in your life. And I love this. People go, "Well, God doesn't want to do all that stuff. It was just in the days of the Bible." But it says here, Jesus Christ throughout generations. It said, "And to him be all glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I believe this, that through Jesus, generation after generation after generation, God will honor his word, and he'll honor his blessing, and he'll honor his promises. And that includes you. This morning, God wants you to live your life every day. Instead of getting up and wondering what's going to go wrong, get up and look for the hand of God. Get up and look for the favor of God. Get up and look for the blessings of God. And my friend, I promise you this, you'll see them. If you're here and you say, "You know what, Pastor, I'd love to receive the blessings of God, but I don't even know God." Right now is your opportunity to meet Jesus, to accept the fact that he bled and died on a cross for your sins, and that he loves you so much, he wants to bless you. And if you want to receive him right now, there's going to be a box if you're on our online church, but no matter where you are that comes up, you can click raise your hand, and we just love to know that we won't do anything to embarrass, but we just love to know that you've made a decision to follow Jesus. But whether you listen to this on podcast or on YouTube, or on Facebook, and there's not a button, I want you just to raise your hand no matter where you're at. Will you pray this prayer out loud with me? Dear Heavenly Father, today I ask you into my heart. Father, forgive me of my sins and make me right with you. Today I make a decision to make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe that if you prayed that prayer, man, you've given your life to Jesus and you are on your way to heaven. But man, how much can you live on earth expecting that that God who loved you enough to die for you also loves you enough to bless you and to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future? So today, if you're watching this and maybe you've been a believer forever, maybe you've been one 13 seconds now, here's what I want you to do. I want you this next couple weeks just to spend your time looking, talking, and focused on the promises of God. And when you see them, give him the glory for it. Give him the praise for it. Because you know that it was God himself that sent it. And I'm just going to tell you this. When you do that, man, you'll feel like a burden has been lifted off of you. You'll feel like there's hope again in your life and in your future. Do you know why? Because there is. Man, we pray that today bless you. I want to pray over you before I let you go. Father, to every person that's listened this morning, God, let them begin to have a mind that was also in Christ Jesus. God, let them begin to look to you, God, for their hope and for their strength, God. God, let them not just look with a downtrodden heart, but God, let them look with anticipation and excitement about what you're going to do each and every day on their behalf. God, that you're going to work all things out for them. Father, I just ask right now that you bless and keep each one of them. Father, put a hedge of protection around them this week. God, bring them back here safe again next week. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We thank you so much for joining us. We just can't wait to see you again next week and walk in anticipation of what God's going to do for you. God bless you. Thanks again so much for joining us, man. We pray that today's message blessed you and ministered to you. As always, we'd love for you to take time to rate and review the podcast. Also, if there's anything our church can do to bless you, be sure to email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. God bless you. We hope you have a great week.